This is, excuse me, really one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I think it's one of those sort of, I don't know, things at the center of the Bible that we can look at and say, here is where all of this truth comes from. As I said, when I talked to the kids, this is the first piece of scripture that I memorized that was significant. I mean, we always had Sunday school passages that we, you know, had to try to memorize and last minute, you know, tried to say the best we could. But this was something that was really dear to me. I had a wonderful second grade teacher who spent a lot of time with me, and she, you know, I first said, I can't do it. It's too long. It's too much. I can't do it. And she spent hours and hours with me going through and teaching me each little piece of this until I knew the whole thing by heart. This scripture has been used in almost every sermon that I've ever done or been to. I think we need to remember that this scripture is not something just for the dying, but for the living, something to really live by. It's a great comfort. It's this feeling of relationship that we hardly talk about. This real means of knowing God in a way that is very personal. If we read this scripture, we see that it's written as a very personal thing. These psalms are all songs and poetry and just deeply held by people. So it is of great spiritual importance to us. So join me in prayer. Dear God, shepherd, teacher, comforter, bless our hearing of Psalm 23 today. Give us new ears to hear this passage as we hear so often. Bless our gathering and love for you and each other. Help us to know you more deeply and deepen our relationship with you and accept your guidance more fully. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Amen. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. Sorry. Or the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does this mean to us, this beginning of this beautiful scripture? Does it mean that because we're Christians that we aren't going to want for anything, that we can ask for whatever we want? There are preachers who would say that because we belong to God, that we deserve and we can have anything we want. But I submit to you that it's not about that at all, because later on we talk about the valley of the shadow of death and having a table set before us in the presence of our enemies. So we aren't given everything, are we? We are given something that is everything, though, and that is our spiritual lives, our relationship with God, this relationship that we enter into when we can feel whole and we can feel like we're not in want. When Jesus, or God, or however you look at this scripture, because obviously this was written before Jesus' time, in this passage where we are led beside the still waters and that our thirst is quenched. It's such a beautiful thing to think of lying down in the meadow and relaxing. Is there anything more beautiful than being in nature and just feeling that serene pleasure of having everything that you want? I think the psalm writer in this poem wants us to feel that sense of knowing that everything is going to be okay, that everything that happens, there's always some good that can come out of it, but that we can always enter into this place of relationship with God where we feel like we're in the meadow and we're drinking from this stream that never ends, that thirst-quenching water, that even though we might feel like we're in the shadow of death or our enemies are attacking, that we can always go back to this place. There's a little part that says, He restores my soul. Eugene Peterson does this a little bit differently. He says, true to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. But I love this idea that God restores our souls, that our souls are open to being restored, and that God helps us with that. So even though the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk by my side. I think that the reason this passage is in so many funerals is that the people who we're honoring have just gone through Death Valley. And the idea that God has walked beside them throughout this process is a comfort to us. And then knowing that when we go through that too, that we can have that comfort. This also says, I will fear no evil if you are with me. It's really easy for us to fear things in this world. I get really caught up in listening to the politics of the world and worrying about, you know, the refugees. And there is that comfort of knowing that in my prayer life that I can give these things over to God. As long as God is with me, I don't need to fear the evil in the world. We talked last week a little bit about giving up fear and how maybe that's the enemy. The enemy isn't death, but fear. Now, here's an interesting part, too. Eugene Peterson puts it, your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. And in the NIV, it's your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, what is it about a shepherd's crook that could make us feel secure? I asked the kids that question, too. So I think of this as being discipline in our lives. When there's something that disciplines us, we figure out that, well, maybe smoking isn't so good for us. And that trusty shepherd's crook is leading us away from that. Or maybe we don't need that extra sugar today. Or maybe we could have been kinder to our spouse. All of those things that shepherd's crook is really everything that we learn about our relationship with God, about loving God and loving others. If we aren't doing those things, then that shepherd's crook is leading us back to that love. Love for ourselves, love for each other, love for God. I think discipline is something none of us really like to hear or like to see, but eventually we need to get on the right path for us. So that's discipline, whether discipline from God, that's how we look at it, or discipline from the world or ourselves. When we make those things our priority, we're using God's shepherd's crook to lead us back into that direction of health. This was one that was hard for me when I was a kid because the discipline at my house was pretty harsh. And I didn't understand how the shepherd's crook could make me feel better because I always thought it made me feel worse. But then God serves a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. Or you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So what does that mean? What does that mean that we get to have this 6-course meal when our enemies are there waiting outside? I'd love to hear what your answers are for this. Because this 6-course meal, it's, I don't know. You know, it's just something great. It's not vengeance. It's just that we're being fed no matter what, and that we don't even need to pay attention to those enemies over there when we're being fed such great, beautiful food right in front of us. I would really love to hear your answers about this today. So when we're having coffee, come and get me and tell me what you think about it. This is really a message for each one of us personally when we read this psalm. because it means so many different things to us. But it's deeply held, and it's so interesting to me that on these occasions, especially funerals, when they're so filled with meaning and rejoicing, that so many people choose this passage. Eugene Peterson says, "Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life." The NIV says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." This isn't an ending that sounds like death. This is an ending that sounds like life, right here and now. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life, right now. And I'm home now in the house of God for the rest of my life. We've talked about what the kingdom of heaven is, the kingdom of heaven that lives in us. The kingdom is here now, inside of us. It's what we pray every week. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're kingdom people. We are living in the light of God right now, not in the future, just in the future, but now. Now and later. So we can look forward to death as something, as a continuation of living in God's kingdom. So read this again this week, all of you, not just the kids, but all of you. I'm going to read it one more time out of Eugene Peterson's message. And I'm going to read it slowly. And I want you all to think about, what does each line mean to you as I read it? So this is fresh, brand new. Pretend this is the first time you're hearing it. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid. When you walk at my side, your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Amen.